We all ready to roll? Good deal. First Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 real quick because of the topic we've been on. I want you to see how many places this kind of language is in your Bible. I mean, see, this is what happens to me. You guys don't understand. If you were in my position here, like I'm trying to read Peter now and I'm getting bombarded with Romans 12. It's just there. You have no idea what happens to me. It's like, but there's scripture everywhere. That you don't have to go there, but watch this. I'm going to read Romans 12, starting in verse 17. Repay no one. How many people? No one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. How many men? All men. Not just good men. All men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him.
Yes.
Oh! If he is thirsty, give him a drink. You say, what do you mean? I'm supposed to fuel him up so he can hurt me, destroy me, give empower him to... He can't hurt you.
That's right.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Because you're in Christ. You're sealed forever. The worst that could happen is nothing. Think about it. See, we get so fixed on natural realities. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, and this you can preach this out. I could take time and actually preach some more things of what this can even mean. But watch this. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Look at verse 21. There's a lot of do nots in all things and all men and don't be, right? Do not be overcome by evil, but instead overcome evil with good.
Amen.
Not with rightness, with good. Okay? Is that intense or what? That's like... Look at verse 8 of chapter 13 of Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, and all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love, verse 10, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
Come on, that's so clear.
Yeah.
So if your goal in Christianity isn't that, you'll become religious. You'll have a form of these things and deny their power. You get it? Come on, you want to be the real deal, right?
Yes.
You're not a Christian for you, right?
Right.
You're a Christian for His image. Ooh, right? God forbid you're just a Christian for you. That's going to be a rough place. Satan will abuse you there, heckle you there. Right? He will. God's affirming that. Put it on speakerphone. Let's hear what he has to say. First Peter 2, and we'll close there. Sometime before December, we'll get to the Epistle of John. Verse 20, 1 Peter 2, you've heard me teach this probably. Some of you have heard me teach this a lot. I teach this a lot. But I want to just end with it because everything's went that way this whole class. So this is stuff to keep your heart stewarded. You showed the scripture, you're the steward of your heart. Guard your heart. That means you're the steward of your heart. Guard your heart. For out of your heart flows the issues of life. You want Jesus to own and possess your heart. Amen? Watch this, verse 20 of 1 Peter 2. This is intense. What credit is it when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good, the hardest time in your and my life growing up is when we meant good and it was read for evil. When we tried to do something nice and people defined it as something wrong, we freaked out. We were like a wreck because, well, no, I didn't mean that. I was trying to do good. Right? Do you know why we freak out so bad when that happens? It's because the real intent we're doing good is how it pays us off and how people will see us, because we're fighting and struggling for identity. We're doing good for our sake so that people see us good. And when they see us wrong, we take it as a personal hit and freak out because it's costing us identity that we're so desperate for.
Do you get it?
Wow. If your motive's love, you can't get hurt because it takes no account of a suffer wrong. So your good's still good. So if I do good to Morgan and she reads it as wrong, why would I freak out because she read my good as wrong, unless I need Morgan to feed me a certain way? And now it's not working and I'm devastated and a wreck and I'm frustrated because she's not seeing me the way I need her to. But if I do good because of doing good and she misreads it, my good is still good before the Lord, and the seed still carries the weight that it carries to produce after its own kind, no matter how she responds to it immediately. Make sense? Does it? But if my good has something to do with her responding and my need in her response, well, then I'm going to be dictated by her response. And then my good is in question. Where is it coming from? Is it for her sake or his name's sake, or is it for me? Do you understand this? This is why identity is so important. This is why knowing who you are is so important, because these things we've done our whole lives. We do good things. I use the illustration, have fun with it. At Christmas time, it's the weirdest time sometimes of the year for people, because they go out of their way to do good things. And when the people don't appreciate what they did, they're devastated. Why? Because they're scrambling for identity and they're trying to get people to affirm them in their giving. They stand in the line for hours and spend money they don't have. And then the person they give the gift for doesn't like the color, and they cry because, "I thought you liked that color." Well, why are you crying if they're honest and don't like the color? I thought you bought it to bless them. You ought to be glad to be an honest. Take it back and get the color they like. Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? Who'd you get the gift for, them or you? Some of that stuff needs challenged and it's driven out. Driven out of the temple. Yeah. Serious. So if you suffer for your faults and take it patiently, what credit's there? But when you do good and you suffer, if you take it patiently, love is what? Patient. So if you're doing things in love, you will take it patiently. You will take it patiently. This is commendable before who? Before God. Now look at verse 21. Everybody wants to know their calling all the time. Prophesy my calling. Okay. For to this you were called. To what? To suffer for doing good.
Yeah.
Is it in your Bible?
Yeah.
Mark, is it in your Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, don't try to find an eraser, dude. It is not coming out of there. It's written eternally. He's over there shaking his head thinking, "Man, why is that in there? That's not my calling." Yes, it is. I'm having fun with him. He's not doing that. Look, for to this you were... Why? Because you're in the world, not of the world. I don't pray for the world. I pray for these who you've given me. And then Jesus goes and prays so that we're empowered to rightly represent him in the world. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He didn't even pray for the world. He prayed for us. Why? He said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves." Man, he wants us to be formed in Christ. He wants us to be raised up in him. He look at this. We were called to this. Why? Because the world is being corrupted through lust. It's a self-driven world. It's every man for himself. We have escaped the corruption in the world through lust by receiving his divine nature. So he wants to leave us here. But it automatically calls us into suffering for doing good. Sometimes men will use your good, misuse your good, misread your good. But if it's good, it's good. And if it doesn't change, it's coming from the right motive, because love never fails. And it's all with the intent of sowing seed into humanity that one day they might see. And one day they might understand. If you draw lines, if you cut short, you make yourself like them. Then you agree with their wisdom, and then your testimony loses power in their sight, because you're just like anybody else. There's no sanctification in it. If you just stand for rightness, then you're just like the man that doesn't go to church, because anybody can stand for their rights. Who cares if you go to church? We're both living from the same well. You follow me? Look, you were called to suffer for doing good. That's your calling. Oh, that's so funny. Because we all want these spiritual callings. This is a spiritual calling, baby. You know? I weren't called to the apostleship. I weren't called to this. I weren't called to that. No, you're called to suffer for doing good. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. You see how intense it is to follow Him? Do you see how important it is to follow Him, not just say you believe in Him? Not just to call in His name to get your prayers answered? You're following Him. Christ died or suffered for us, leaving us an example that we or you should follow His steps. Follow me. Now, you have a colon in your Bible after the word steps, right? You know why? Because He's listing His steps right now. There's a colon there because this is like a 1, 2, 3. He's listing the steps. Watch. Who committed no sin? Well, He's not talking about perfection. I know you've heard me preach this before. He's simply saying, don't ever let sin against you produce sin in you. That's deception. Did Jesus let what was happening against Him determine who He was? Or did already determining who He was determine how He responded to everything coming against Him? Do you get this? You know how we lamely, loosely, quickly justify our reactions because we get our eyes on all the trouble and the people and the phrases and the things they should and not said and did. And all of a sudden we run that court case, that prosecuting mindset. And all of a sudden it justifies less and we let what's happening against us begin to multiply in us. There's a scripture in James that says mercy, judgment is without mercy. And where no mercy is given, no mercy's received. What it means is you'll become the very thing you lock in on and judge. The very thing you find fault with, you'll be found expressing. Isn't that heavy? Because the only thing that keeps us from being that is mercy. And when you show mercy, you'll walk in mercy. But when you cut off mercy and don't show mercy, you walk in judgment and you'll become the very thing. You'll actually manifest the thing you found fault with. You'll function in the same heart. I've seen it over and over. I've seen people come to me hurt and angry and frustrated, and they have every reason and right, and they look just like the person they're pointing at. And then you have to break that news to them with tears. Serious. Because it's not a slam thing. It's a... You know what I mean? You say, man, I hear what you're saying, but if you could see yourself right now, and a reflection of what you're conveying, you look like everything you just told me about them. I have had to say things to people like that to rescue them. You hear the intensity of what I'm saying here? I'm bleeding it out on purpose. It needs to stick. Committed no sin. He didn't let what happened against Him produce anything in Him except love. Love never fails. Watch this. Nor was deceit found in His mouth. So He probably wasn't gossiping. When He was, watch this, verse 23. When He was reviled, what did He do? He sure didn't revile in return. When he suffered, what did He do? He did not threaten. But this is what Mark was talking about earlier. He's not becoming His own defense. He simply committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. You could define that many ways. Him who holds the truth, knows the truth, to the justifier of men. He committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. So He knew the truth of all things before God, and His heart did not condemn Him, and that was His strength. Knowing that one day all things would be revealed. You get it? I share this testimony now and then. I had a police officers come into my house one time, and they said, Are you so-and-so? Yeah. Were you out on such-and-such a road on this night? I said, well, yeah, I actually was. And I was out with my son. We took a spotlight and we were just spotting around for deer. We do it every year, that time of year, around that weekend after all the hunting season, just to see what we see. And we end up having a good time, see other stuff. And yeah, I was absolutely, why? What's going on? Well, it was reported and we have five witnesses that have signed an affidavit to testify against you in court that you were driving down the road shooting a rifle out the window. And I'm like, and what do you have to say to that? I said, don't have nothing to say to that. That's absurd. I said, man, I'm a Christian. Don't bring your religious faith into this. It has nothing to do with it. I said, no, sir, you're mistaken. It has everything to do with it. I'm not just a confessing Christian. I'm a man of integrity and character. I'm a man of God. So that's why I brought it into it, because it means something to me. I'm not a religious man. Found out that the officer's dad was a pastor. Later. And he said, well, then you need to explain to me why five people would be. I said, I can't possibly explain. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know why people do the things they do. But I said, sir, I can tell you this. I didn't do those things before I was saved. I sure wouldn't do it afterward. I have no defense or justification for you. I'm looking in the eyes and telling you, I don't know what you're talking about. You're telling me there was no gun in the car. I would never take a spotlight in a gun. That's ridiculous. And I stayed real calm. I went downstairs. I asked to be excused when he shared the charges, because I went down and I said, Lord, look, I don't know what's going on, but I will not be a cat in the corner. And this was kind of your thing, Nancy. I just got alone. I don't know that I had to at that point, but it was a safeguard to my soul. I got down in the basement alone with the Lord. I said, you know what, Lord, I won't be a cat in the corner and I will not defend myself. I don't know what's going on here, but I said, I trust all things to you. Thank you. And I went back up and I was just calm and I was talking to him and I had him look me in the eyes and shared, and he pulled, it looked like we were in a movie. He pulled one of those detective stunts on me. He was like, well, then you tell me. And he got real aggressive and leaned over the table and got my face, and he's trying to get me to break, and he's like cornering me. And I said, sir, I said, I'm not going to bite on any of that or respond, because there's nothing to bite to. I don't know what's going on. I can't help you. And they were ready to leave, and he said, okay, listen. And then he brought up my Christianity. Listen, Dan, obviously you're a pastor in the area, you're a reputable man, you have a good name. I said, I believe I do. He said, then we're going to be leaving, and this is going to get real ugly if it moves anywhere forward from where it is now. And for it to be as clean as it can be, it would be important for you before we leave to tell us anything we need to know. That's what he said. I said, I need both of you to look me dead square in the eyes right now, okay? And I'm sure I came across just like this. Very relaxed. I was calm. I said, I need you both to look me right in the eyes. The head fellow that was accosting me, he couldn't look. He wouldn't look. He just kind of looked and looked away and was fumbling with his papers. And I said, okay, at least you will. And I looked right in the other guy's eyes. And I said, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I've never done such a thing, but I'm not here to just defend myself. I'm simply asking you, answering your questions. I can't explain. I don't know, but I'm telling you, I've done none of these things. And I said, sir, I need you to look at me. And he finally looked at me and I told him this. I said, you can charge me with this and put me in jail. You can't change the truth of who I am. One day, before all men, the truth will be revealed. I won't be a cat in the corner. I'm a man of God. It's just what I said to him. Awesome. They got up and they walked out of the living room. Because here's what we do. If we get charged with something like that, then we're like, oh my God, my name. And oh my God, what am I doing in prison? And we're mad at God. God, I thought you loved me. We forget about Joseph. We forget all kinds of things. And we fail to be an example no matter where we're at and what we're going through. We fail to shine integrity. And all of a sudden, Satan's exposed us and revealed it really is about us. See, oh, Dan, you're kidding me. You're telling me that you'd be okay? Da, da, da. I'm not saying it's something I'd ask for, but I promise you it's something I'd live through. And I promise you all along the way, people would know who Jesus is just because of the accusation. Or you let the devil really win and wreck you and everybody around you. And I guess God is small then, and I guess your praise is kind of meaningless, and I guess it is all about you, huh? Are you following what I'm saying? It's pretty intense language. Long story short, they went back and rechecked these people. And they were young people that were drinking and out on a night and a dare. And they reported us, and just their stories didn't mix, and they dropped the whole case. It was something weird going on. Probably demonically inspired, who knows? But you don't panic, defend yourself. You don't run afraid. You trust Him who judges righteously. And you don't let what you're going through dictate who you are. You let what He went through dictate who you are. It was really cool because I had two friends in the house that love us, and they listened to the whole thing in the living room. And she's a real spiritual lady. She's sitting there praying. They went out on the back porch, on the front porch. My son came in the back door. And I said, "Oh my goodness, come here, boy." He's real little. And I said, "I need you to talk to these officers." "Officers, yeah, it's okay. You be at peace. Everything's fine." I said, "Hey guys, my son just walked in the back door. I haven't said a word to him. He doesn't even know why you're here. Ask him anything you need to." "Hey, hi." And they treated him so well. They handled it. They did, like professionals. You know, they kept him so from being unglued and relaxed him. Said, "You and your daddy go spotting deer sometimes?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah." He said, "Were you guys out not too long ago?" "Yeah. And we saw 103 deer and like 3 foxes and 2 raccoons." And he told them the whole story. He's just a little guy. They said, "Well, let me ask you, when you and your daddy go, do you ever take a gun in the car? Do you ever take a rifle?" "No, we never take a rifle." And I'm laughing. I'm standing there watching, thinking, "God, you're too cool." And he said, "Okay, son." He rubbed his head. "Thanks a lot. You can go in the house now." I looked at him and I smiled. I said, "Well, there's your hit man. That's my passenger. He's your shooter." And I said, "Have a good day, guys." And I closed the door. I pushed the door. And we all circled and held hands, and we're all in there praying. And we're not upset. We're not, "God, you need to save us." We're like, "Father, we just thank you. You're a just God and that you'll work all things, da, da, da." And all of a sudden, the door's pushing and tapping. And I opened it up, and we're in a circle praying. And they walk in. And the guy ended up telling me later his dad was a pastor, and "I appreciate your heart, your honesty, and da, da, da." Here's what they came in and said. They said, "Listen, we believe you're innocent. Even before we talked to your son, we were just out there saying, I don't believe this man's guilty. However, we still have charges, and we have to follow it legally and pursue what the court said, da, 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 da. So we don't know how this is all going to turn out, because we can ignore the affidavits and the signatures and the witnesses and the charges. But we just wanted to let you know, we do believe you're innocent." I said, "I am, sir. I told you before, whether you charge me guilty or not, I'm still innocent." Yeah. "And life will go on in him. So God bless you." And they left. They never, I'm not saying this mean, they never had the courtesy to call me and tell me the case was dropped. Yeah. I just bumped into them 4 or 5 months later. Just bumped into the same two officers somewhere out and about. I saw them and said, "Hey, that's those guys." And I walked up and talked to them to ask them whatever happened. And they said, "Oh my gosh, we're sorry. Didn't you ever find out?" I said, "No. But here's the deal. That could even cause you to be hurt and mad and angry. And you come in my house and put that kind of thing on my conscience and then don't even have the courtesy to call me and have it resolved. And I had to live with that for 5. I'm suing you for charges and loss. I couldn't even sleep for 5 months with a shadow hanging over me." Come on, that's real. "I'll have your shirts. I'll have your jobs." That's real. Thank God that I slept every night. Thank God that I actually forgot about the charges. Because of living in reality in God. Thank God it wasn't a cloud hanging over me. But when you don't have that reality, it really is a cloud and it does cause issues. And you do have a beef then with the officers. Because you have suffered. I thought he suffered. We probably ought to be found in him. Are you all right? I'm preaching really good. I hope, I'm going to kill so many deer, Pam. I feel it now. They're just going to come to me. Listen. When he suffered, he didn't what? He didn't threaten. He committed himself to him who judged what? If you'd go on and read, it says, and in His body bearing our sins in His body on a tree. So He went even the extra mile. After being accused wrongly, then He even died in our place and took our sin, the sin we committed, into His flesh that He never committed it with. And totally took the hit. So that we, having died to that mentality, identity, and way of life called sin, would be able to live righteous and be restored back to His nature. By His stripes we're healed. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Here's what I want to do. I actually talked to Don about this way before I ever thought of going hunting, so I don't have to justify that. I really don't. I wanted to do it for an hour. I just stayed late just hoping Pam would squirm because she feels like I'm staying for her. Because I told her I'm staying till 12. I might even stay till a quarter after and just make you squirm. No, I was teasing her at the break. She said, please, you go and have fun. I said, nope, I'm going late. I was having fun. Serious. I was going to give you an hour to do this, but I think this is fitting. I was going to close out this class because it's the last day of this week. We talked about love all week, what it is, what it isn't. The life of Jesus gave how many countless illustrations and analogies of mindsets and life and God versus man stuff. What I asked Pam or Deb if they would do, and I think Deb agreed, didn't you? Agreed? I'm just going to have her come up. She's just going to tinker on the keyboard, not to lead you in any kind of worship. She's just going to get alone before the Lord, okay? But she's just going to tinker the keys and create that atmosphere. But what I'd like you to do is take some time, whether it's till 12 or whether it's till a quarter of or whether it's till 20 of, take some time and get before Him in your own heart and just meditate and muse on Jesus, His response in life, how pure He was and how good He was and how well He meant every time and how people misread Him and how He was so secure, how love is so perfected, how love never fails. Take some of these analogies and some of these things, Nancy, like your question and the times you've been hurt in your life and you validated it versus where God's taking you now. And just in this time, affirming things like some of our questions, you know, Lord, the truth is I don't ever have to be caught off guard again. I don't have to try to forgive. I'm becoming love. And Lord, right now I exchange right now anything that would be less than truth. And I just thank You. And Holy Spirit, I ask You to quicken me in all these ways. And you know what I mean? There's a place to commune with Him right now, and I believe respond. It's not an altar call. It's a response to God. It's not saying, oh, we haven't been this. It's saying, wow, we agree to being called to this. I'm not afraid to suffer for Your sake. I'm not afraid to be mistreated. It's not about me anymore. It's about me manifesting You, and I thank You for the grace. And just spend some time. Some of you might need to deal with issues. Some of you might have some things right now that are pending that God's wanting to shine a brighter light on. And you might want to take that to Him and just make sure you capture His heart and perspective in this time. You can come on up, Deb. And you can spread out. You can just stay where you're at. It doesn't matter. We're not going to go down the sanctuary. But I want you, before you leave school today or class today, I want you to make some kind of exchange, contact, yes and amen this way. You see what I'm saying? And just commune with Him. Y'all know what I'm saying? I just feel like it's a good response to the teaching. Because we can teach, but I believe we're going to do more and more as this school goes on of actually responding in Him and having more times this way, directing directly in line with what we're talking about. Does that make sense? And yes, while you're doing that, I'm going to slip out of my truck and leave. But that's not why we're doing this, give me an out. This is so vital to our lives, guys, to commune. Say, Jesus, you know what? It's amazing. You were totally innocent. And men created in Your image, treated You like You were a bad guy. And You didn't let that make You a bad guy. All the more You revealed how good You were. In the face of their accusations, You shine even brighter. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's the stuff I'll do in my bedroom. I'm doing in this trip driving. There'll be communion like that. Lord, You so impress me. You're so my hero. I follow You. I honor You. I follow You. And in every unjust situation, every accusation, every time man touches me like they've touched You, I desire to look just like You. So Holy Spirit, I surrender and I ask you to come and lead me and guide me. But I don't want to carry around the flesh in awe and rightness. I don't need a prosecuting case against people. I just want love. I'm not afraid of enabling and empowering sin. I'm heaping hot coals on people's heads without even realizing the problem. My life's a testimony. In the light of darkness fades. Make me just like you. That's what I'm talking about in the next few minutes. Would you let your heart go there? Would you seek him there? Would you pray? Would you? And then pray for me that I'm successful. I will be. Animals walk right up to me.
Bring us a deer.
Oh my goodness. I have a lot of requests for you. My wife's so fun. She said to me this morning, she said, do you know how you can hunt the whole month of October? She said, you got all these friends and relationships in the states you travel. She said, just go from one state to the next and just hunt the whole month of October. I said, stop that. No. Father, we just thank you and we love you. Deb's not going to lead you. She's going to enter into her own place. I just ask if the blessing that's on her life with the keys and stuff would just flow and play, because that's beautiful. I do that in my bedroom all the time. I have little CDs that just do stuff like that on them right there. And I just kick them on early in the morning and I just let them play. Sometimes I just lay back on my bed and let them play, and I'll just muse and meditate and commune and mutter. Won't even open my Bible for a while. Sometimes I open my Bible, it doesn't. It's relationship. It's not tradition and religion. But please, just out of your heart, make contact in light of what we've preached all week. And just let's all leave here looking more like him and living from the place he lives. Amen? I bless these precious people, Father. And I thank you that your grace abounds in their lives and that your wisdom prevails in their lives. And I thank you in the midst of every or any precarious situation, your wisdom and light shine forth. And God, I thank you that our eyes are fixed on you and who you are in us way more than they're fixed on what people are doing and saying. And I thank you, as Tom said earlier in this class, if we'll become love, it'll cause us to see people totally different. Thank you for the grace that makes us like you. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, love you guys. Just stay in that place as long as you want. If it takes you up to 12, fine. If you need to roll out sooner or want to, just make contact. When your heart is in a place where you want to get up and move forward, you just take your liberty, okay? I love you guys.